for a second, please.
This is a culture clash, plain and simple.
Eric, how do you think you are talking to me like that?
I resent the fact that your implication that only you are a Canadian.
All right, it's that time, kids. Tuesday mornings after the 9 o'clock news, we get into the culture clash. And this morning, there's a lot of good things to chew down on. Here to help us in that regard, the Reverend Dr. Charles McVitie, President of the Canada Christian College.
Good morning, good Charles. Good morning, John.
And Greta Vosper, Minister at the West Hill United Church and founder of the Center for Progressive Christianity. How's Greta?
I'm great, John.
Good. Good morning,
good
Greta.
Good morning, Charles.
Well, let's do this as a follow-up, first off, from last night's National Conversation on Prostitution, hosted by Jeff MacArthur, a colleague in the afternoon. Last night from 7 to 9 across the Chorus Radio Network, spanning coast to coast, all of the implications of the prostitution laws or how to address this best, because the Supreme Court, as you know, struck down three of the laws that had made it illegal to a large measure. And so what you've got is it's been punted back to the Parliament, and they've got to come up within a year with something that might be workable and satisfactory for the majority, which I don't know if this is going to work. We conducted our own Chorus Radio poll as to whether or not it should be deregulated and decriminalized, and 52% said yes, but that to me is a saw, you know, factoring in margin of error. So let's start with this. I mean, prostitution, is it a victimless crime? In other words, crime only by definition, therefore benign, or is there something more sinister underlying all of this? So when we want to serve the public interest, you know, because the individual may be right, you know, want to do what they want to do in a kind of a libertarian way. But what serves the public good? Greta, what do you think would do that insofar as how we govern prostitution going forward?
I think it's a victimless crime. I think that if you have two people who consent to a transaction that involves sex, that that's their business. If you want to, I mean, I don't know how you criminalize testosterone. I don't know how you do that and have it followed up appropriately with laws that would not be laws that could be struck down by the Supreme Court, as they have done the current prostitution laws. I think that the victimless nature of it means that the government, like the legalization of marijuana, could find ways to regulate it and make sure that those aspects of the nature of that activity that could be criminal, could be dangerous, could lead to, I don't know, illness and the spread of disease, that those kinds of things could be regulated and taken care of. And I don't see that
our
hands tied about that.
You don't see a moral question involved at all as to how it might impact society. You're saying we'd be better served as a society to legalize or decriminalize and regulate.
Well, no, I don't. And I think that the poll that you mentioned, that you call, you know, a draw, that was a draw on the Chorus radio station, I think is indicative that a radio station that generally has a more conservative perspective on
things.
We're
talking about coast to coast, including Vancouver,
well,
including the West.
Okay. Yeah,
you know,
I know,
Ottawa.
But that's not, I mean, that's not a, I don't think it's quite such a wash as it looks like. I think that there's a general shift in public perspective
around
what is criminal and what is not. This is not a criminal activity.
Social mores are willing to accept prostitution as being decriminalized, and it's not a crime. Charles, what do you say?
Well, Greta, unfortunately, what you argue is a specious argument, because it sounds all nice and good that these are consenting adults and just allow consenting adults to do whatever they want. That sounds good, but it's not good. And let's set aside the morality of this and look at it from a sociological perspective. And you realize that this is not a victimless crime. This is a crime where you are effectively legalizing sex abuse, specifically of women. If you look at the statistics, you have 75% of women in countries where it's legal that are part of the sex slave trade. That is not a victimless crime. You have a 400% increase in child prostitution. That is not a victimless crime. This is a nation changer, mark my words in this. And yes, in countries like Germany that have gone down this path, you now have a small country with 1 million men visiting 700,000 people working in the sex trade. And And it changes the face of the nation. It changes relationships. It changes, the victims are the children. When the father is going regularly to prostitutes, the children suffer. The wives suffer. The families suffer. This is a breakdown of civilized society, and it is, the worst of it is that the women, the prostitutes themselves suffer, and statistics show that more than 50. Let me just say one last point.
I just want to say you're right, Charles.
More than 50% of prostitutes statistically attempt suicide. Where is the victimless element to this so-called
victimless crime or benign practice?
Yeah.
Now, here, like last night on the program, there were people who called in that were involved in the trade and said they weren't abused. They weren't coerced. In fact, there was an owner of a brothel, I think it was up in Barrie, who suggested that, in fact, there were a lot of young ladies. They do their screening or due diligence. Give a listen to this.
I own a brothel here. I call it an adult services studio. It means that they have a license through which they can pay their taxes, which they all do. And of all the women that I've worked with in this industry, I have yet to meet anybody who has been forced into it, who started before the age of 18, and who didn't do this by informed consent.
There you go.
And I want to say I regret that I didn't mention the capacity for abuse and for inappropriate activity, particularly pressuring young girls into prostitution. But that's exactly what can happen when we have absolutely no oversight and no regulation. When everything is hidden and below ground, then there's no accountability. If you create and build accountability into it, as the person who called in last evening and left that message said, if you build some accountability into it, then you have the opportunity for the government to make some regulations that would actually make sure that those kinds of things didn't happen. There would be checks and balances.
This would alleviate all of the dark scenarios that Charles
Nothing will alleviate all the dark scenarios.
But you
said
we'd be better
served. But I think it would certainly mitigate them, and I think that we would certainly have a better oversight of the trade.
Unfortunately, that has not been the case. When you look at Holland, when you look at Germany, when you look at the countries that have gone down this path, that has not been the case. All it has done is fuel. It's like putting gasoline on a fire, and unfortunately, the girl are the ones. Remember, they talk about the women being tested for disease, and they're clean. Well, are the men tested before they come in and transmit these diseases to these victimless women? No. The men, this is a harmful practice, and women in this country have to rise up. This is primarily a women's issue, and my grandmother, two generations ago, she rose up like Nellie McClung, the Women's Christian Temperance Union, and they stopped the rise of prostitution in Canada, and they criminalized it across the United States, and our nations have benefited. Now we want to go back with regressive policy to abuse women, and that's why we have at stopprostitution.ca, we've had this poll up for 4 years, because we know that this is an issue that we must activate women across the country on.
All right, so you see this as rending the social fabric. Others would see it as improving some people's access to sexual services. As the woman said from Barrie, she runs an adult services studio. I don't know if that's a euphemism for something more sinister, as you implied, Charles. Or, you know, that's a good way of couching, making it more respectable, bringing it up into the full light of day, and allowing people not to be stigmatized by engaging in sex for money. Let's go to Terry in Grimsby, taking some calls now. 870-6400, *640 on cell. Do you see prostitution as benign, a victimless crime, and it ought to be, as a just said, brought to the surface, and the laws ought to reflect that as the parliamentarians are mulling over how they're going to approach this? Or do you think Charles is right insofar as it's retrograde to be trying to liberalize these things? Terry, what's your take?
My take is I can't believe I'm actually agreeing with Charles. I think it's the first time. And I am so incredibly angry I had to pull off the QEW going to teach young women at the university, because I just cannot even fathom that in 2014 you think that this is a victimless crime. As a card-carrying feminist that fought in the 60s and 70s, we fought for women's education. We fought for the de-objectification of women. animal rights have progressed more than women's rights. And it just, I have not had these kind of feelings in so long. I am so incredibly angry that this articulate woman on your show, whom I usually agree with, has such an incredibly shallow, shallow point of view. Shame. Shame on you. Go back to the books. Get some reading done before you come on and talk about prostitution. I don't care if they have it and they give them $1 million a night. Prostitution is not a victimless crime. Do not ever use those two words together. I worked at a women's shelter in Barrie, and believe me, I have seen the aftermath of 18-year-old plus women making the decision to have to be a prostitute. Don't ever buy that argument, and please, the young women listening to this, wake up.
Well, let me ask you, Terry, because we did hear from several young women last night, including one who, by her own choice, going to one of the bigger universities in the country and chose this profession to make, you know, student loans and all her debts that she was incurring, and she said she wasn't coerced or anything like that. What do you say to those women?
I would say that it's, you know what, I can go into a candy store and eat all the candy I want and feel nice and satiated and full. Yet, I didn't work for it. I don't know what integrity means. They say that even a teenager's brain, I deal with young people all the time in their 20s, and some of the questions I get, I wonder how they know which shoe to put on when they wake up.
So you're saying it's not an informed decision, and they're not mature enough to make that kind of a profound...
Amen. You talk to any 22-year-old and ask them about Twitter and Facebook, and then they quote Wikipedia as an academic source, I would have them wake up also. And they're not even awake till they're 25 or 26 when they regret these decisions, when they look back and they want a family or they want a career, they want to become, we want women to become doctors. We want women to become CEO leaders. This thing will follow them and haunt them till the end of their world.
I appreciate your take.
True feminism.
Is that true feminism? Or?
Well, I certainly understand her passion, and I certainly understand where it's coming from. I think that there are so many systemic disadvantages that women have in the world, and one of them was just reinforced right there when we only talked about white-collar positions, and we didn't talk about women in the skilled trades, Terry. But I think that with all the systemic disadvantages that women still have, that we still need to speak to and work against, that we continue to stigmatize women who are trying to get university educations or pay for their children's food or come up with the rent at the end of the month, that we continue to stigmatize them for using their bodies to make that those ends meet, I think that that is as bad and as horrible as other forms of violence against women.
So, in other words, you see this as a sort of an emancipation of women, the freedom to use their bodies to material benefit and, I guess, pull themselves up to a better station in life. Well, hang on to your thoughts, Charles. I'll come back and we'll take more calls on this. Again, opening up the sluices at both ends on the National Conversation on Prostitution, following up from last night across the Chorus Radio Network. Is it a victimless crime? Do you think one that ought to be decriminalized, regulated, or is there something more sinister that we don't want to go that route because it would be detrimental to society? What's in the public interest is essentially the question. Back with your thoughts in a moment. First off, to the roads and a check of AM 640 Chopper traffic. Daryl Fraser.